Nowadays, some of you read a real paper. Most of you pull out your phone and scroll a little bit. Daily, I pull mine out and I look at Breitbart News. I don't know if you've heard about that as a news source, but that's the main one that I use. Or I actually do get a newspaper, Epoch Times, comes once a week, usually about 4 days after this last week. I'll probably get it on Monday for this past week out of New York. And I find that to be a helpful source of information. But all of the headlines that you would be reading in the newspaper or on your smartphone or listening to on television, all of those headlines, all of those stories sound pretty much like the same conversations that Jesus was having with the Sadducees and the Pharisees back in Matthew chapter 22 and 23 and around in that area in Matthew. Same ones. I mean, one of the headlines was they were talking about from the river to the sea. You know, that's over in Israel. You know, the talk about the people between the river and the sea, kind of like the Gaza-type area and beyond that. Same stuff. Not much has changed, really, in over 2,000 years. Not much. Back and forth, we read people being harmed, people being heroes, people being wonderful, people being scoundrels. Now, the chapters in Matthew 22 through 23, the banter goes back and forth between the Sadducees and the Pharisees on one side and Jesus on the other. Now, it seems like, wouldn't that be ganging up on someone, you know? I don't care who it is on one side or the other, but when you have whole groups of people and only one person responding on the other side. Now in 23 especially, it gets down to brass tacks and includes the end of time when Jesus is to return. He hasn't left yet, but even talks about his return. Jesus tells them parables, stories with the meaning underneath the storyline. There's a reason for that. Kind of like there's a reason I brought out a chicken before I started the message. There's a reason for that. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is like a wedding banquet. How many of you have been to a wedding banquet? Few of you. Some of you, rest of you are fibbing or didn't want to raise your hand. And most all of you have been, but there might be one or two of you that have not yet been to a wedding banquet. Now, Jesus is telling a story about a wedding banquet where an attendee is found who was there without an invitation. Now, I remember back years ago, remember people used to crash wedding, yes, I see some smiles, used to crash wedding banquets. You know, they would go sneak in and get what? The food, right? And maybe listen to some fun music and have party time. They would sneak in, not part of the wedding at all. Well, back at Jesus' time, they had an obvious way of telling who was invited and who wasn't. Who had an invitation was the one who had a garment that was supplied by the host. You wore the garment to the wedding. So everybody that was in the wedding garment, you know, was there. And, oh my goodness, they found one that wasn't wearing the wedding garment. And Jesus said, so the king there, the host, told him, well, throw them outside. You know, where there's gnashing of teeth. That must not have been a very good section of town, right? You know, they got thrown outside because they didn't receive the invitation. Now, the Pharisees wanted to know what he thinks about taxes as well. You know, sounds like it came right off the front page of the newspaper, doesn't it? Jesus sees through their sly questioning to trick him into saying something they can get him on. Sounds like the news reporters today, right? Interviewing people, trying to get them tricked up on something. Oh my goodness, they messed up again, you know. Now in this back and forth, we learned the greatest commandment in the midst of it. What's the greatest commandment? They thought they'd catch him on that one. He says to love the Lord your God with all your soul, your heart, and your mind. Likewise, the second is love your neighbor as who? Yourself. He says these are the basis of the law and the prophets, which is pretty much most of the Old Testament, the Bible that Jesus would have had. Now, Pastor, why did you bring the chicken in? I'll get to it. Okay. Hold on. I thought you would never ask, you know. Jesus cares about his people, the leadership of his people, the salvation of his people. He is really ticked off because the temple leadership would spend lavish resources to reach out to convert someone and then make them a child of hell like themselves. Interesting. There is a saying, do as I say, not as I do. You're right. Why? Like the parents saying to their kids, don't smoke, don't drink, don't swear, etc., while the parents are smoking, drinking, and swearing a blue streak. Telling the kids, don't do that. Do as I say, not as I do. Now, the leadership of the temple talked a good line. They really did. But didn't live it, not even close. Jesus said that the Hebrew people's children, he wanted them to come to him. But this leadership wouldn't let him. And they, in fact, did everything in their power to keep them away from Jesus. They would say how terrible it was that their ancestors killed and stoned the prophets. Oh, if they would have been back there, they would have never took part in that. While their hairy hands are bloodied with those that God had presented to them. Oh my. Now let's read about the same event that we read earlier from Matthew, but this time in Luke. Now, if it's in the Bible more than once, guess what? It might be important. Listen to the words. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you were not willing. Look, your house is left desolate. Empty balcony. Ooh. Empty front seats. Ooh. Empty spaces throughout. Ouch. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, like they did at the parade last Sunday, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, waving palm branches. When will they say that again? When they see Jesus coming, what? In the clouds, right? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In this passage, there are two audiences. Two audiences that Jesus is speaking to. First, it's those that kill the messengers. You know, receive the message, don't kill the messenger, right? You know, you've seen that in the movies and other stuff, right? Of course you have. And the second is those that Jesus want to take care of, want to gather underneath his wing. Now, interestingly, in our culture, chickens get bad press. Because if they call you a chicken, what are you? A coward. That's not a chicken at all. Why does the mama chicken, the hen, bring the chicks underneath the wings? Why? To protect them. To protect them from what? Let's say there was a fire. What does the mama do? She puts them underneath the wings. If it gets really cold outside, freezing cold, what does she do? Puts them underneath the wings. Who receives the brunt of all of the hardship that's outside and above those wings? Who? Mama. And boy, you don't want to mess with mama. Do you? No. I don't care if it's a chicken or a bear. You don't want to mess with mama. They will do their best. Does that sound like a coward to you? No. So first, let's speak to the leadership who know the word. Who might that be? Do you have some leadership in the congregation? Maybe this is for you. Those who think they are doing a bang-up job, but are sending people the wrong direction. I remember a Sunday morning, Ella, coming down the aisle. That congregation, the church had two aisles. Went like this, center section, little center side section here, little side section, two aisles. Ella would come through that door, came down with her cane like this. Third pew. I know it was the third pew because if I standed up here and I was preaching and she wasn't there, I could see the cushion, her cushion right there, tipped up against the back of the seat, missing Ella. I remember that one Sunday morning, Ella comes through, working her way down, and I am encouraged because in that congregation, 35 was a huge attendance. That was big. And right in that third pew, which only sat about four or five people at most, that little pew on that side, the one with the cushion, was a young family with two kids. There were four people sitting in that pew. Oh, boy, this is good news. I mean, all right, you know, I mean, this is like, you know, they come through the McDonald's and they drop a bus off. You know you're going to be busy. You know, oh, this is good. You know, and if you get one family with a few kids, guess what might happen? The next family, and they stay, another family might come, they might stay too, and then you have two families, and two makes three, and three makes five, and you get the idea. Young preacher, you know, I was thinking, oh, all right. And then I Ella coming down. And she came down the aisle, and you gotta watch me careful here. She came down the aisle down there, like this with her cane, came right to that third pew, right here, just up there, and she turned, and much to her dismay, there were people sitting in it. The cane went down. Boom! Thud. Sat down. Probably much to her thankfulness, she never saw them sit in her pew again or even attend her church. Now, if you would have asked Ella any other time if she wanted her church to grow, wanted to bring more people to Jesus, what do you think she would have said? Yes. Just as long as it didn't infringe on her comfort. Or her cushion. You know, the special one that she had for her posterity. Tongue in cheek. Another congregation would plan events, and I would ask the attendants about the attendance, and they said everybody was there. And then at my mental mind, as I'm looking out over the congregation in my mental mind, I'm seeing they're not there, they weren't there, they weren't there, and they weren't there. In fact, those particular people never heard about the event, never read about the event. Obvious to me and to those left out, they really didn't matter because everybody was there. Everybody that was somebody was there. The planners, if we asked them, they wanted the church to grow, they would say, of course we want the church to grow. But their actions would say something other, wouldn't it? Now, I figure that some of us have been on the receiving end of both of those kind of events. But I'm not going to let you off the hook either. You see, just like the Pharisees, other leaders would create rules that had little or nothing to do with the gospel, but would keep people from the kingdom. We never have done it that way before. Well, that's the seven last words of the church, I think. Now, before you say, we don't do any of that, or that is so-and-so who does that, let's take a moment. How many folks have come to the kingdom of God here at FCC and have grown in their faith because of what you're doing? An event. It might be even a pet event ministry of yours. How many are coming in such? Do a tally inside your head. Do we have more signs around our campus and our building and such about what not to do than telling about how to live for Jesus? Now, who are the ones that Jesus were concerned about? Was he concerned about the leadership? Well, yes, because they were doing the wrong things, yes. The ones that needed his care and protection were the ones that he was really concerned about. He referred to them as children. Now, in our eyes, who are children? Anyone under the age of what? 12? 14? 18? 63? 78? 94? 112? You see, Jesus was referring to the children of Abraham. That meant all of the people were children that he wanted to gather underneath his protection and his wings. Now, life was hard for people there. Faith was in great need. And God's love and care was what they needed. Are you giving it to them? Are you encouraging them in that faith? But they were heading on their own direction the wrong way. I remember a conversation I had with Jacob downstairs. And then the conversation went to, we talked about the color of the carpet. Do you know that in the modern day church, more blood has been shed over the color of the carpet than anything else in the church? In fact, one church I know, they picked out this ugly, gosh darn carpet. It was brown. It was tan. It had red dots in it and brown dots and blue dots and green dots. It was the ugliest looking piece of rag you've ever put on a floor. And you know why they picked it? The trustees picked it because they said, well, you wanted red. See, there's red right down there. You wanted blue? Well, look down there. There's a blue. And you wanted green? You wanted down there and stuff. Why? Because we get all wrapped up in what? Non-essentials. Well put, well put. That's right. The color of the carpet. You know, they would have them to put boxes on their shoulders or up on their foreheads and stuff, and you put the scriptures in it. Well, they even add more scripture, more rules than what they had scriptures. And they talk, and Jesus said, my yoke is easy. I'm not adding all that other weight to it, all those other rules that you got to follow. And if you aren't on the inside and know all those rules, we don't have patience with new people because they don't know the lay of the land yet. Shame on us. God's love and care was what they need. In the Old Testament, we hear one received from the Lord. Listen to this from the book of Ruth. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Oh, there's those wings again. You know, we could have sung the song, under his wings, safely abiding, you know. That would be there. Now, those wings, a place of refuge, a place of protection by one that would lay down their life for the flock. Now, how do we come into the protection of Jesus? How does that happen? Be a part of His family, the family of God, and have Him within our hearts. How does that take place? The Scriptures say we are like sheep who have gone astray. We need to confess our strayness, our sins, and accept His forgiveness. There was another time chicken was mentioned in the Bible. It was when the cock crowed three times. Remember the story? Peter? Jesus says, you know, before the cock crows three times, you will have denied me three times. Peter's sin was front and center stage when that prophecy comes true in the morning, call of the rooster. The rooster, ever since then, has been not just a symbol of strength, but a symbol of repentance. Peter needed to ask Jesus forgiveness. I'm sorry. I betrayed you. I didn't speak the truth. I didn't hold up your name. You see, we need to repent of our sinful hearts and turn to Him. Let's say with the psalmist, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers. Chicken again. I hope the next time you see a chickie at the farm store or whatever, you know, you will think about Jesus, how He loves chickies and all those little kids that went out there and touched the chicken, how Jesus loves all those children. Let the children come to me, but who are really the children? All of us, that you come to Him. Eliana, I need you to go get Elijah right now. Okay? Hurry. Okay? Because our last song, we're going to sing the first song that we did as the praise set is our last song today. Hype band will do this. Don't do that very often, do we? A couple times Pastor Bill has asked us to do it, but we'll do it today. This is the house of God. Let us not get bogged down with the non-essentials. Let us keep our focus on Jesus laser sharp. Not my will about the color of the carpet, but Your will, O God. Not my comfort cushion seat, but Your will to bring others to You. Not my comfort of just to hang out with the clique and the gang. No, but Your will, O God. Let's bow together in prayer. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Lead my life. Help me, O Lord, to be Your witness. Not a deterrence, but to be an encourager in faith. All this we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.